Hello, my name is Cheryl Cohen, and I'm the president of Arthritis Consumer Experts, or ACE. ACE provides education and training to people with arthritis. We also help to empower people living with all forms of arthritis to take control of their disease and to take action in healthcare and research decision making. I'm also a person living with rheumatoid arthritis. We're here today with Jay Fidler. Jay Fidler is a person living with Still's disease. She's had quite a trial first getting diagnosed, but once she got her hands around her diagnosis, has dived into the arthritis leadership community in a big way. She is presently co-chair of the Consumer Advisory Council of the Canadian Arthritis Network. She's also a member of the Consumer Advisory Board of the Arthritis Research Centre of Canada, located in Vancouver, British Columbia. She's currently doing her PhD at the University of British Columbia and holds a research fellowship with the Canadian Blood Service, among many, many other titles and activities that fill up her day in life. And we're really thrilled to have Jay here today to talk with us about consumer participation in arthritis research decision making. And given Jay's vast experience at a leadership level in arthritis research organizations, I think she's certainly more than qualified to cover this topic with us today. So welcome, Jay.
Thanks, Cheryl. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So, Jay, really, in terms of consumer participation in arthritis research decision-making, sort of to our lay listener out there, our Joint Health Podcast listener, they're kind of, maybe some of them are going, what the heck is that?
Right.
I know when I first got involved in participating in at the decision-making level in arthritis research, there weren't many before me, and so you kind of had to figure it out as you went along.
Right.
And now certainly the process of getting involved as a person with arthritis in arthritis research at a more formal sort of leadership level, there is a process today.
There is.
And but I think for many of our listeners, maybe what we'll do is first ask the question of you, what is consumer participation in arthritis research decision making? Like, what does that mean?
Okay.
And what does it do for research?
Great.
You know, why involve people with arthritis specifically in the research activities that are going on in the country?
Great. All right. Well, in terms of why to involve them, I think that was your second question. Yeah. I think there's different ways to look at it. I think one could argue that, we have a democratic right to be involved as people living with illness in a publicly funded healthcare system with publicly funded research. And I think what it really does at a very, you know, in a very base level is it provides that lived experience. Mm. You know, we're the only people involved in that research who day to day are living with the illness. We know what it's like to wake up with it, to have to live with our families and participate in our communities, work, do all those things with it. So we really bring that experience into the research and really complement and balance the knowledge that scientists and researchers bring, that biomedical knowledge, with our own expertise, which is as the person living with illness.
Right. That's a really, really great definition, I think. It's recognizing that people with arthritis have expertise.
Absolutely.
And that prior to people with arthritis being involved in arthritis research decision making, that expertise was missing.
Absolutely.
It was assumed or presumed on the part of a scientist, taking nothing away from their ability to do that, but that they can have a person with arthritis by their side while they're doing their work, I think, is really valuable.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you think of people, you know, some of the medications we take or the strategies we use to manage our illness, you know, we're the only ones that know what it's like to live with the side effects of certain medications and, you know, the strategies we use to manage those day-to-day lifestyle changes we have to make.
Right.
Absolutely.
Good point. So in your mind, apart from the fact, a very important part, obviously, of the fact that they bring an expertise into the research decision-making, implementation process, what do you think it does for research?
Well, I think it does a few things, but I think one of the most important things it does is it really makes the research relevant. It makes sure that the things that are important to us as people living with arthritis are represented at that research level. And not that they haven't been, not that researchers, you know, haven't done some absolutely critical research in the past, but what it does is make sure that there's a complement between what we need studied and what researchers are studying. So that relevance is really increased. Now, whether that's looking at issues of, you know, day-to-day, you know, lifestyle things around, for example, mothering or families, or whether that's about, you know, side effects and issues of why do we keep taking our medications and, you know, what factors are going to make us take our medications more often. Also outcomes, if we're talking about, you know, what are the outcomes of the research? I think those of us living with arthritis are best able to say what outcomes are important for us.
Right. So, So for example, if I am told by my doctor to stand on my left foot for 5 minutes, what outcome or what benefit I'm going to derive from that, we can say, well, gee, okay, here are some benefits to that, but here are also the negatives.
Absolutely.
To this intervention you've just prescribed for me. Well, one, I can't do it. I can't stand for that long. And these are some of the, I know that sounds sort of like a silly analogy, but it's so true that sometimes you go into these studies and you think, gosh, why are we collecting that information?
Absolutely. And we've probably all read research that we thought, or we've seen research in the newspaper that we've thought, well, geez,
I mean, I already knew that.
I could have told you that already. And I think, you know, beyond talking about identifying the right priorities or the right outcomes, I think when we talk about, you were talking about somebody standing on their foot. So one of the ways I think we can contribute is also getting directly involved in that research and looking at issues of how people have been brought in. You know, what is their involvement? How do people determine issues of consent? Mm. You know, are we making sure that when people are being brought into research, they know what their role is and that the issues of consent are being addressed appropriately?
Right.
And for me, I think one of the big things we also bring is we make sure that research, or we hopefully make sure that research goes from the ivory tower and the academic journals that most of us don't have access to directly out in our community, where they then get taken back into the doctor's office and hopefully into practice.
Right.
To make sure that research links from the university to the community and into that decision-making in terms of our individual care.
Right, so sort of closing the loop, so to speak.
Absolutely, because I think there's been a big gap there where there's been some great research done that just kind of gets stuck and we don't have access to it.
Yeah. For yourself, Jay, as a person who began to be involved in arthritis research decision-making, what did you get out of it? As a person, what personal benefits? So you're volunteering your time. Mm-hmm. What do you find exciting about it? And what were your fears in getting involved? Because I think there are a lot of people who wouldn't mind getting more involved in arthritis research decision making, but they don't know. They may have fears. They may have questions. And this program is really intended to answer some of this for them.
Absolutely.
So tell us.
All right. Well, I mean, everything about it's exciting. I know for me personally, I feel that it's improved my health. I've been able to learn more about arthritis, the various forms of arthritis, and my own form of arthritis, and really take that knowledge into making better decisions for myself, sharing that across my community, which to me has been a huge benefit. I mean, the things I learn, I get online to my groups and I let people know and make sure that's shared, you know, really broadly.
Right.
And it's very empowering to feel that you're having a say in the research that's being done. Like, I mean, it's, first of all, it feels groundbreaking. Like you're doing something that nobody's done before.
Right.
And you really feel that you're making a change. But I understand the fears. I remember the first time sitting at a table and I was with you, Cheryl, doing some peer review, and I remember going into the meeting and thinking, I have nothing to contribute. These are experts. These are doctors. They have gone to school for umpteen years. And what in the world would I say to them? And I felt that way walking into the meeting, even though you had said, I promise you, you've got something to say. I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm a person who has been lucky to go to university and do graduate work. And I still felt that I didn't have anything to say. Like, I thought, well, who cares?
That your voice wasn't going to add value to the decision-making process.
And it wasn't until we started getting into the process and started talking. And, you know, we were sitting at the table with big-name researchers.
Yeah.
You know, from the U.S. And I couldn't believe that they were listening. I was saying things that they hadn't thought of. And it absolutely blew me away. It really did. I mean, I think after the meeting, you and I talked about it. And I said, I didn't believe you. I didn't believe I could contribute. And that was empowering, to have people in the room say, well, we never thought of that.
Yeah.
We never thought of that question. You know, when we were looking through, you know, the research topics. And I would say, well, so what about this? Or why are we having patients do this? And the other researchers sitting in the room hadn't thought about it before. And I really, it really alleviated those fears and reminded me how important that lived experience is to the research process.
Yeah. And you're sitting there and you're looking at a proposed plan to do some research. Mm-hmm. And you think, and you look at kind of what they're trying to accomplish, and you look at the method that they're going to try to use.
Yeah.
To get information from the community they're studying.
Yes.
And there's a huge gap. You think, well, actually, if they're doing this study, here's a very important piece that's missing. And sometimes it's the cherry on top of the cake.
Definitely.
You can give them the crowning piece to a project that is going to go from being a very good project to being a dynamite project that's going to be super relevant to the community once the work is done and the results are published and, as you say, delivered back out to the very community that's been studied.
Absolutely. And when you were talking about the involvement, I think one of the examples we could provide is the Consumer Advisory Council at the Canadian Arthritis Network has consumers involved in peer review. So peer review is, as you know, Cheryl, sitting down with a group of people looking at research and reviewing, you know, how they're going to do the research, what the goals of the research are, issues of consent, all those kinds of things. And I think it was important to remember going in that I wasn't there to look at the science.
No.
I'm not a scientist at the table. I was there to always say, is this relevant to people living with arthritis? Is this applicable? Is this going to have outcomes that are important to us?
Could this potentially hurt me? This
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Could this hurt me? Or could we be not getting the right people into that research because of the way the design is set up?
Right.
Or are there issues of consent we haven't thought about as researchers that maybe consumers would say, you know, for example, well, wait a minute, how are we going to get 20 consumers up 3 flights of stairs? I mean, that's a basic example, but
right.
You know, I mean, issues of mobility and access, and that's what we're at the table for. And, mm-hmm. and I think that was a big part of the fear, was thinking I had to be an expert at science. Well, I don't have to be. I'm not trained in science.
Yeah.
That's not my background.
Right.
My background is living with illness.
Yeah.
That's my expertise.
Yeah. And that's so, thank you for sharing that, because it really, I think it really shines the light on to me, what is the true importance, the true meaning of our involvement is that we bring that everyday experience to the table, and that there's a moral authority around that experience.
Absolutely.
You don't have to have a long list of initials representing degrees at the end of your name, taking nothing away from that.
Absolutely.
But that the voice and the pieces of information we provide in the discussion around a particular piece of research that's being proposed can make that research that much better and that much more meaningful to people with arthritis. You've mentioned, Jay, the Consumer Advisory Council and of the Canadian Arthritis Network. And so if we have some idea about what consumer involvement in research decision-making looks like, and that one can be involved in a clinical trial as a participant,
Yeah.
They could also be part of a study team that helps to come up with the right question to ask.
Absolutely.
They can be part of the research team that helps to implement it.
Mm-hmm.
They can be part of the team as the research moves down the spectrum of looking at the results of the research.
Definitely.
And trying to interpret the data and see what may be really important results and maybe what may be less important results.
Mm-hmm.
And then can be key to developing information that is not Greek or Latin to us
exactly.
when we read it on a bit of paper, but rather it's words that are meaningful to us.
Absolutely.
So we can participate in all of that, the various levels of participation of research. Having said all of that, you can't just sort of walk up off the street and knock on a door and say, hey, are you doing research in here? Let me in.
Yeah, you're right.
So what kind of formal bodies exist where Joint Health Podcast listeners who are interested in mm-hmm. getting involved in consumer participation in arthritis research decision making? That's a mouthful. We got to come up with an acronym for that. Where do they go? Whose door do they knock
sure.
on?
Sure. Well, I think ACE is you know one of the best doors to mm-hmm. knock on. Because they're so well connected. I think other than ACE, we've got the Consumer Advisory Council of the Canadian Arthritis Network. We've got the Canadian Arthritis Patient Alliance, mm-hmm. CAPA. We've got the Arthritis Research Centre of Canada's Consumer Advisory Board. And I think one of the strengths is, and again, you know, Cheryl, I'll give you some credit here. You were one of the first people to bring many of these groups kind of into existence. And one of the things we've really done is strengthen the networks across all of these groups. So one of the things I say to people is if they're interested to sign up as members to ACE, to groups like CAPA, because one of the things we do is when researchers are interested in getting consumers involved or people living with arthritis, whether as research participants, and not even just in clinical trials, but participants in research on work disability, on issues of family, those kinds
relationships.
Relationships,
yeah.
All kinds of. So we talk about arthritis research, it's very broad, from the scientific to the social.
Right.
One of the things that happens is often the notices for this research will get passed out among these groups when we're looking for people who are involved. So that would be one way to get involved. It'd be to link yourself into some of these groups to make sure you know what's going on, what research is happening across the country.
Mm-hmm. We spoke last month with Gordon Whitehead, the co-chair of the Alliance for the Canadian Arthritis Program.
Yes.
And links can be found to, I think, all of the groups you've mentioned
yes.
on their website. But I think specifically the Arthritis Research Centre of mm-hmm. Canada is www.arthritisresearch.ca.
Yes.
The Canadian Arthritis Network is www.arthritisnetwork.ca. That
mm-hmm.
is the website for the Canadian Arthritis Network in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those groups, I'm hearing you saying,
yes.
have formal consumer advisory boards or councils, if you will, and they're operating. Maybe tell us how they operate.
Sure,
yeah.
You bet. Well, the Consumer Advisory Council, so the CAC of
yes.
the Canadian Arthritis Network, a lot of acronyms,
yes.
Is a group that is a diverse group that has representatives from each of the provinces. We've got three representatives from the Maritimes, a northern representative, and an Aboriginal representative. And so it really represents the entire country. And then each of those people are linked into other groups at their local level to make sure that that information gets spread back into our communities.
Right.
Now, the Consumer Advisory Board of the Arthritis Research Center is similar. It's a diverse group of people, all who live with arthritis. They're all volunteers who really participate in deciding research priorities, in getting directly involved in research, in disseminating or getting that research back out into the community. And I definitely think the Arthritis Research Center would be a website that I would ask people to go look at, because they also have something called a lay template or a plain language template on their site, so that all the research done through the Arthritis Research Center is really accessible. It's very readable to people. They can see what research is going on, what research has been done already. They also will advertise when they're looking for people in research. So if anybody's interested in getting involved, it would definitely be one of the sites they could go to see what's happening.
Terrific. And that's the www.arthritisresearch.ca site.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I visited that site and I totally agree with you. It's fantastic in that these lay summaries, really, they're a quick snapshot and easy read of not just what projects are being run at the moment at the center, but also interim results are being published there.
Yes.
Because some research projects can take years to complete. Mm-hmm. They have many different phases to them. You collect pilot data to go on to do the next phase of the study. And then to see the final results of projects published there in a way that is meaningful to us as people living with the disease is really exciting. And I just huge compliments. I know you've been a key factor in driving that along. And that group in particular has been the country's leader, I think, in terms of developing these lay templates. And I know the CAC has borrowed from it, ACE has borrowed from it, and I think this really speaks to the networking and the power of networking that is going on at the consumer level.
Absolutely. I would say networking and also solidarity, and we've spoken about this. I mean, I think that the community is really working together to make sure that people with arthritis are involved in decision-making.
Right.
We're not splintered and fragmented. We are well-networked, well-connected, and I think really pushing that agenda forward in a cohesive manner.
Yeah.
And I would agree, Cheryl, I think the Arthritis Research Center is a great example because they do, their motto, if you will, is practical research for everyday living. So it's really great to be able to check out some of the projects they do because it's so applicable to daily life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think in both of those groups, knowing a little bit about them myself, I would add to your comments, Jay, that as a volunteer to these groups, because they're multi-institutional, meaning the investigators, the researchers come from a lot of different areas across the country.
Yeah.
They're also multidisciplinary.
Yes.
So if you're not into counting blood cells in a petri dish or at least having to read about that as a lay leader and deciding whether that's important, if aspects of the social sciences are more appealing to you, then you can kind of focus your area of interest into that end of the research spectrum.
Absolutely.
So it gives people with arthritis, I think, a really wonderful opportunity to get involved at any sort of stage in the research process and in any interest level.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would completely agree with you.
Yeah. So if I wanted to join up to your army, to your consumer army, I imagine that these leadership levels, you probably, it's not come one, come all.
No.
There's probably a certain background you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I guess, is just someone interested in arthritis research. That if you're not interested, you're probably not going to want to volunteer, I imagine, the number of hours that are probably required to be meaningfully participating. So maybe describe for us, Jay, who's the person? What kind of characteristics does a person have to have or should have or want to have if they want to matriculate into participating in arthritis research decision making?
It's a good point, Cheryl, because these groups are different than other volunteer efforts where you simply call up and you join.
Yeah.
So for example, something like the Consumer Advisory Council of the Canadian Arthritis Network has representatives from each province. So it's something where you really apply. You send in a CV and apply for a position. But the big thing is interest. Like you said, it's, are you interested in research? And I think what happens a lot of the time is the fear overtakes the interest.
Yeah.
So people may be interested but feel they don't have the skills. We always say, are you interested? Do you have the passion and commitment to really dig in? In terms of education, you don't have to be a brain surgeon. You know, none of us are in these groups, right? You have to, be interested in reading research and not necessarily all the scientific research either.
Right.
I think you have to be confident. I think you've got to be comfortable and believe that you have a right to be there.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I think if you don't believe that your voice is important, and if you don't believe you have a right to be at the table making decisions about research, this won't be the place for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very big thing. So I would say interest, commitment, a real passion for research and for wanting to have a say in policy and planning. And you have to have arthritis.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, good point.
You know, that's key. Each of these groups, that is one of the mandatory components. Yeah, would be
you got to know the secret handshake.
You got to know the secret handshake, which is arthritis.
Yeah. And we kid about that, but as people with arthritis, I think we allow ourselves to do that with one another. But it's true. I mean, you really do have to bring an authentic arthritis experience.
Yes.
A confirmed diagnosis.
Yes.
And probably some level of education about your disease, although people who are living with new onset disease is a very valuable perspective to bring in, because of course we're doing research, or the research community is looking at those kinds of populations and trying to learn more about what the immediate impacts are of early disease versus late disease.
Definitely.
And what can be done to help people, you know, through that very, very difficult time, which is disease acceptance, diagnosis acceptance, and moving on from there. So those are some sort of the general characteristics. Okay, say I've put tick marks next to all of those, and I want to pursue this.
Yes.
I send my arthritis
what I would do
is resume forward. Yes. I imagine opportunities open up. There's a stewardship process in place where terms become available or position becomes available because someone served their term. Once you're in, let's say you pick me.
Right.
What happens then? Do I receive more support? Do I get more training? Maybe describe that
process. Sure, you bet. Absolutely. Well, and each group has a different process, but generally what we try to do, I think across all of the communities, is draw on the resources that exist. So groups like ACE, groups like the Canadian Arthritis Patient Alliance. So one of the things we would do, for example, in the Consumer Advisory Council of the Canadian Arthritis Network is hold training sessions.
Right.
So we do peer review training sessions, which mean we do sessions on what does a grant look like? How do you read a grant? What kinds of things are we looking for? Because I think we can get really caught up in thinking we're looking for, you know, again, get caught up in the science rather than coming at it and saying, okay, from a consumer's eyes, how do I look at these things?
Yeah, something is like a question as broad as, how will this work impact my life?
Absolutely.
Will it relieve my pain?
Mm-hmm.
Will it help improve my mobility?
Yes.
Does this research project actually dig around at the question, what is arthritis?
Right.
So really broad questions.
Very broad questions. Yeah. Very broad questions. And I think, so training is one fundamental aspect of something we do. Another is mentoring. And not just within groups, but across groups. I think we're talking about that solidarity. I think one of the strengths is that we've got a broad skill set in our community, and you know that. We've got a broad set of people, and we really make sure to mentor each other and to support each other, to have people you can go to and say, okay, I just don't get this. So how does this work? Or help me understand this better. And that's something that all of the groups do. I think people feel that they're going to have to come in and be up and running right away.
Yeah.
And I can say that, you know, as the co-chair, it took about 2.5 years, really, for me to feel that I had it down. And I'm still learning. Every day or every meeting I go to with any of my arthritis groups, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
So I think it's a process of constantly being open to learning, but then also being open to mentoring others. We won't get anywhere if we assume that people can come in, hit the ground running, without needing that mentorship, support, training.
Right, right. I think that there's a huge trust factor there.
That
when you come into these groups, it's, I think the leadership, the consumer leadership, this is both my own personal experience, but certainly my observation as someone who works in the community. People work really hard to create a safe environment for people to participate in, meaning that they're always cognizant of the fact that people are living with arthritis. So the meeting times start not too early in the day and don't run too late. Now, we seem sometimes not to be too successful doing that, because I think most people who get involved are sort of type A personalities.
Yes.
Who think they're going to cure arthritis in a day. But also that we create an environment where one can say what they think.
Absolutely.
And say it honestly, mm-hmm. but in a respectful way, that principles of confidentiality are upheld.
Definitely.
That they're cognizant of conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So I think it's that sort of kind of preparation mm-hmm. that you're delivering, it sounds like, through these training modules, through mentorship, so that people just don't have to jump in. Yeah. And they're not expected to know everything on the first day.
Absolutely not. And, you know, I've been involved in the Consumer Advisory Council now for, I'm just finishing my fourth year, my term, actually.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Yeah.
The shackles will be removed.
They will be. And I'm still learning. I mean, it's a constant ongoing process. I think you're right. It's making sure that we have appropriate resources for people at meetings. And, you know, even little things. Like, at our meetings, we never spend all day sitting.
Yeah.
You know, we get up and move around. We make sure there's healthy food and comfortable beds and, you know, places so people can exercise. And,
yes.
you know, and we all take medication. So all of those things are thought of, or hopefully we think of them,
yeah.
when people are getting involved. So that we also want to make sure our groups are accessible. I mean, you know, we know that they're, you know, we've all been to meetings where, that, you know, even though people with arthritis or people understanding arthritis are running them, they haven't necessarily thought of those accessibility issues.
Right.
Because we live with arthritis, we make sure that those accessibility issues are thought about and covered.
Yeah.
So that we don't have just the healthiest of us, or because that doesn't help our community at all.
No, I agree.
If there's only the healthy of us at the meetings.
Right.
Right.
I agree, because there are lots of us who are not the healthy of us.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to bring that true broad voice of the person with arthritis to
yes.
the decision-making process, you have to be able to find moral and ethical ways of bringing the most
yes.
marginalized of our voices to the table.
Absolutely.
Either by creating an environment for them to physically be able to do it themselves,
mm-hmm.
or offering an opportunity for them to do it with a caregiver or a proxy or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff we cover. And the one thing I'd wanted to talk about, because I know when you introduced me, you know, as a PhD student,
mm-hmm.
I definitely want to be clear that in these groups, our groups range from, you know, yes, people like me who have been lucky, you know, I've been, you know, lucky enough to do some of that university work, but to really, we always have a really strong balance of people who are community activists
yeah.
and really involved in their community at a
grassroots
level.
Right.
Because it doesn't help us either to have just one type of person in terms of education. You know, we really want to balance and complement each other.
Right.
And I think that's really important to remember for people if they're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know if I have the right education or background. You know, all of that stuff is important.
Yeah.
All those places we come from need to be represented for us to have the right group and represent people living
with
arthritis.
It's not about the clothes you wear.
No, it's not.
It's about what's in the clothes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jay, it all sounds, I mean, anything that you say sounds exciting. You've got this incredible joie de vivre, and we thank you for that. I know it's probably very enjoyable for our listeners. I imagine it's not all roses.
No.
Yeah. that there are challenges
sure.
in our participation
sure.
in arthritis research decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably, much like you, don't like to think of things as problems. I like to think of them as opportunities
mm-hmm.
or challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been difficult. Some of them have been managed and dealt with well, and we've made great progress. But sort of what were some of the challenges that you encountered as a leader of one of these groups?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the early days, maybe still.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the challenges of consumer participation?
Right. Yeah. And I think you're right. They're definitely there. For all, you know, all my passion, excitement, we know the challenges are there. I think one of them, I think we're seeing less so now. And I think that's because of some of our community members, yourself, people like Gordon,
mm-hmm.
others in our community who've really, you know, pushed this forward, was tokenism. You know, there was definitely a challenge in the beginning that, not always malicious, but just an not really understanding by those in leadership at the scientific or management level on what our involvement would look like.
Right.
So, you know, there was a little of that getting dragged out to do the tap dance. I think we're seeing that less and less.
Yeah.
I know that in the 4 years I've been involved, we don't see it as much, but we also don't stand for it. So that helps.
Right.
I would say the other thing are resources. I think that, you know, both financial and physical, I think, because we're all people living with illness, it can be a real challenge for many of us to stay involved when we're struggling with illness.
Yeah.
But then there's also resources in terms of, I think, financial resources and being able to build our community. We can sometimes laugh and say there's about 12 of us across the country. And I don't mean that, but I do think the issue of fear, illness, accessibility, knowing what's out there and how to get involved means that I think we've really had a challenge in building our community
right.
to the level where we need it.
And sustaining it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sustaining it. So I'm excited people are hearing this because I hope they'll run to the web and, and look up these groups and get involved because we need it. And we need a diversity of people involved.
Yeah.
So everybody's sitting there thinking they don't have the skill set. They do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would say those are probably some of the biggest challenges would be the capacity, the tokenism, which we're, I think, seeing less and less.
Yeah. Part of that, let me interject.
Yes.
I think part of that tokenism, a large part of it, was not malicious.
No.
It was that they didn't know what they had no expectations.
Right.
And apart from, oh, you're supposed to be here? Oh, okay, here you are.
Yes.
And then part of it, you know, the onus falls on the person with arthritis to open their mouth
mm-hmm.
when they're at the table.
I agree.
And I think that's where these qualities that you highlighted, confidence and the true belief in their moral authority to be at the table mm-hmm. and to open their mouth and speak their truth mm-hmm. around their arthritis experience, that's a two-way street, right, in terms
Definitely.
Of tokenism. So,
oh, yeah.
But... you know, there's certainly some, oh, well, look, we had the consumer at the meeting, tick, you know, we can cross that one off our list. We met the criteria for getting the funding to have the meeting.
Yes.
That I agree with you, we're seeing that less and less because we have strong leadership,
mm-hmm.
but we need to grow that leadership if we're going to grow the participation level, which we need to because now, hey, the arthritis community has really embraced... much to the Canadian Arthritis Network's credit,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
has really embraced consumer participation in research decision-making. We have now a whole young group of researchers in this country
oh, yeah.
who, when they're putting together their research team, think, okay, well, who's going to... I need to find a consumer to be really involved here. We
yes.
need help with the piece they bring to
yes.
the table. I mean, that never happened.
No. And actually,
10 years
Cheryl,
ago.
No, and actually with the Canadian Arthritis Network, it's now been formalized that any projects funded through the Canadian Arthritis Network must have consumer involvement. At this point, CAN
wow.
implemented that, I guess, about a year ago. And that means meaningful involvement. So it doesn't
right.
mean a consumer's name is down on a project and they don't know it. It means that CAN is really committed to ensuring that people know they're involved, they know their roles, there's support from the community
right.
demonstrating the value of that research
right.
to us.
Right.
And going back to what you said about our responsibility, you're right, we have a responsibility to, when we're invited to those tables, to be a voice.
To be prepared.
To have a voice.
Yeah.
Because if we just fill a seat, a quiet seat, it doesn't do us any good.
Yeah.
So we have a commitment, just like the scientists and researchers do. If we're asking them to bring us to the table and open a spot, then we need to be prepared, confident, ready to speak.
Supported.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
Absolutely.
A lot of that happens in the committee itself, the
mm-hmm.
whole group of people.
Yes.
Whether it's a research project team,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a council or a committee,
mm-hmm.
or it's the whole organization, there has to be a commitment to support and
yes.
nurture and protect
Absolutely.
The consumer involvement. And I think the Canadian Arthritis Network has certainly seen
well, I think
really
they have a commitment
a
to
great,
that. Yeah.
A great benefit to that to the network of consumer involvement. It was one of the reasons highlighted by the site review
yes.
team when they got their second round of funding from the federal government
mm-hmm.
that it was you know, in part because real people living with real arthritis were involved day to day in directing that research.
Well,
the government, I mean, that's great news for the government.
Absolutely.
It means and I that think... the constituents, the voters, are kind of putting their good housekeeping seal of approval on the activities of that federally funded initiative.
Absolutely. And they were the first standing committee, as you know, of people living with an illness to be involved in decision-making across the board. We sit at the management team. We sit on all the peer review. And I think when you were talking about support, a good thing to say in case people are listening and thinking they would join these groups and be thrown to the wolves at a meeting, it's not the case. We always, another thing we always do is make sure that there are partnerships of consumers at every meeting. So, for example, in the CAC, on every committee where consumers are involved, we have two of them.
Right.
And there's a mentoring process that goes on for 6 months prior to someone new coming on so that they're prepared and ready, so that you're not sitting in a meeting by yourself as the only voice, right? There's always somebody there with you. You're always working with someone else.
Well, that's fantastic.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'll let you know, at the Cannes meeting that just passed this past December, we had consumer presenters open every single symposium in the conference.
Wow.
And it was...
powerful.
Powerful, and the feedback was extraordinary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks very much.
I know that you were probably a big part in making that happen, Jay. When we talk about consumer participation, and I think a lot of us who have been involved, those of us with moss growing on parts of our body, how do we sustain this? How do we grow it and sustain it? I mean, I think first of it, just to get the answer maybe going and not certainly not to put words in your mouth.
Hey.
But I think we do it by talking about it.
Yes.
And that's really the focus of this program, of this joint health podcast. But in your mind, Jay, how else can we do that? What things need to be in place to grow and sustain consumer participation in arthritis research decision making?
Well, I think you're right. I think one of the first things is letting people know what exists.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing a fairly good job of that. And I think groups like ACE and CAPA, some of the stuff CAPA sends out, the Canadian Arthritis Patient Alliance, are helping. But I think we need to get it out broader into our communities, because I'm sure there are people sitting out there who would be interested in it if they know they exist. I also think we need some training. I think there needs to be probably a more concerted effort or a more broad effort to do some training across the country to people who are interested, to make sure that whether it be a workshop so people can understand how they can get involved in research, what it looks like to be involved in research. To me, that would be one of the things, because I know when I first got involved, actually with the CAC, you had done a peer review training, and it was the first training session I had ever been to. And until that point, I would not have thought I could be involved in peer review research, because I thought it was so inaccessible to me. And that training really changed my mind. It changed how I looked at a research grant. It just gave me a confidence that I didn't have before that.
Right.
So to me, I think one of the critical things we need to do is let people know what exists, how they can get involved, and then really provide some training or education so that we can really build the capacity of people to feel they have those skills to get involved.
Right.
Yeah.
I think part of the challenge in when we talk about sustainability is you get people ready, and then there's that risk of having to put them on the back burner because there's not sort of an opportunity for them to participate.
Yeah.
So timing is everything
it
in
is.
Life. And so I would say to our listeners that visiting the Canadian Arthritis Network website regularly.
Yes.
And the website of the Consumer Advisory Board, which is part of the Arthritis Research Center of Canada. ACE, we send out notices for these groups when they are recruiting. So if you're listening to this program, the best way to ensure that you hear from ACE is to sign up for our Joint Health Monthly publication, which entitles you to receiving Joint Health Express, which is our breaking news information vehicle. And that's where we do help these groups publicize the fact that they're looking for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think having mechanisms in place for this information to get out, just in terms of where the opportunities are to participate, is really a key piece of sustainability.
It is. It definitely is. And I think, you know, just to let the listeners know, both of these groups will be looking for members in the year 2007.
Oh, okay.
The Consumer Advisory Board of the Arthritis Research Center is going to be looking for members in 2007.
Now, that's focused in British Columbia.
That is focused in British Columbia.
Yep.
Unfortunately, at this point, our resources are, we're a fairly new group. The resources are smaller, but it's focused for people in British Columbia. Most of our members at this point are in the Lower Mainland, but we're definitely open to having some interest in the broader British Columbia to see how we can involve people.
Right.
And the Consumer Advisory Council of the Canadian Arthritis Network is also going to be looking for new members from representatives from Saskatchewan and British Columbia as well.
Oh, okay.
In 2007.
Okay.
So if there's interest, we'd love for people to check out the websites. Contact us for any information we can provide to them.
Right.
And there are also different levels of involvement for a group like the Consumer Advisory Board of the Arthritis Research Center. You know, there's full involvement in the board, but then we also do things like the Roundtable on Arthritis Research we did last year.
Right.
Where we had a big symposium on research. And, you know, for people to hear about what's going on, they can always come down to those events.
So learning opportunities that are specific to arthritis research.
Absolutely.
That can be their level of involvement right there.
Absolutely.
And I was fortunate enough to participate in that roundtable. And it was a phenomenal day of learning, listening, but also talking back, also giving our feedback to the research center, and saying, "Hey, why don't you look at this, or why don't you investigate that?
Yes.
Can you answer my question about this?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was really just a very iterative process.
Yeah.
I found it to be just a fantastic event, and
thank you.
And I hope you'll be having one.
Well, the plan is to have one every year. And I think when we talk about training, to me, I see that as a training.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who are new to this, it's a great opportunity to learn about arthritis research, to start educating yourself and getting involved, and then starting to maybe make a decision a year down the road, okay, well, now I'm ready for a bigger commitment.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm ready to be a leader and to get fully involved, right? I mean, everybody's going to have different levels of involvement.
Right.
But hopefully we see people start at interest and move into
and grow
leadership.
And grow it from there.
That's what we'd like to see.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough. This has been not only a fun conversation, an exciting conversation, but certainly a really informative one, Jay. I just want to thank you for bringing yourself to us into the Joint Health Podcast studio. We're really thrilled to have had you here. We, like our other Joint Health Podcast guests, we always do a little bit of arm twisting and provide an open invitation to join us again
in the future.
You have such a breadth of experience to share with us and our listeners, and we'd certainly love to take advantage of that again.
Well, Cheryl, it's been exciting being here. It's my first podcast ever. And you know, I'm a member of ACE, and I see ACE as one of the true leaders in our community. And I thank you and ACE for providing these type of opportunities so that we can build the capacity in our community for people who are interested to get involved. So if you're out there and you're listening and you have any interest whatsoever, jump in. It's not that scary. I jumped in 6 months after I was diagnosed. I think actually pre-diagnosis I jumped in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really urge people to get involved and to be active participants in this process.
Yeah, great. Well, and on that wonderful note, very positive energy note, we'll conclude this program of Joint Health Podcast. Thank you so much, Jay.
Thanks, Cheryl.
And thanks to you, our Joint Health Podcast audience, for listening. As with all of ACE's programs and services, please keep in mind that the information provided in Joint Health Podcast is not medical advice, and ACE does not brand or promote any product or company. The information provided is to help you better understand arthritis and help you talk to your own rheumatologist or healthcare provider to make the best treatment decisions for yourself. Again, thank you for listening.